Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and I am being filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I am walking the manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work, and I am increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
If you believe, you give me another amen.
Amen.
Again, I declare that understanding is your portion today in Jesus' name.
Amen.
The Lord will solve for you unnecessary disagreements today.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
There are things you are disagreeing with that are the key to your salvation. Are you getting my point?
Amen.
Understanding will come to you today.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You know, Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, "From your youth you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation." What that means is that when the scriptures, when the word of God fills your heart, it gives you wisdom. Wisdom means something you are supposed to do, how you are supposed to apply knowledge. And it says unto salvation, which means that it will deliver you from where you are right now to where you are supposed to be. This is a matter of fact. For example, you are a married man, you are a married woman, you are very unhappy. There is something that you need to know. You are a businessman, things are not working well. There is something you need to know. You are building a career, things are not moving well. There is something you need to know. Even if things are moving well, you can't be on the same spot forever. God has designed that you will be fruitful and you will multiply. So when it's time to be fruitful, when that time to multiply comes, there is something you need to know that you did not know before. And that is why Paul wrote that God and that the scriptures are able to make you wise unto salvation. It is what you get to know that produces salvation for you. And that is why we pray like that all the time, that when the word is coming for us, it will enter your heart in the name of Jesus. It will solve the problem. You know, there are problems you don't even know you had.
Yes.
You don't even know it's a problem. You are so used to it, you don't know it's a problem. But when the wisdom of God comes, it will solve for you even things you did not realize was a problem. It will help you to know God better. You will please Him more and more. That's what it does. That's what understanding does. Sometimes, you know, and I was talking to my wife, we were looking at something this morning. I saw an advert. That advert, apparently, I found out, is actually old. I found out later. Somebody was showing, you know these WhatsApp videos that go up and down? They say one Japanese company developed a car that only runs on water. On 1 gallon of water, you can drive for 80 kilometers at one good speed. I just read it. I showed it to my wife. I said, "This thing is a lie." He said, how do I know? I said, "It is simple. Where is the energy coming from?" They said, now listen to this one. They said that the brake, they have a special device that extracts hydrogen from water. And then that one now combines back to oxygen. And then that, one long story, emits energy by which the car is moved forward. I told my wife, I said, "You know, let me tell you the lie in it. With which energy are they splitting hydrogen from water?" You just wake up in the morning, just sound deceiving the whole world. So when I read that thing, when I saw that video, I just went online, started Googling up, only to find out that it's been established that the amount of energy that you need to extract hydrogen from water is enough to power the car itself. So just use the energy to power the car. And it's been found out that all those people that say they are making engines that run on water, they just try to deceive people. That water is one of the most stable compounds you have. And the amount of energy required to split it is so high that it's not worth the effort in a motor vehicle. It's not that the technology is not available, but it's like going around in circle. You waste energy to crack water, combine it back to get energy. Why don't you just use energy in the first place? Now, why am I saying all of this? So I told my wife, I said, "Look, if you have understanding in life," I just watched the video, I said, "This is, I can forget this, it's not possible." I said, "If you have understanding in life, it's very difficult for you to be deceived." I have sat here before. I was telling my wife this morning. Here, I finished preaching one day. One young man came. About three of them, they came to see me. That they, in Enugu here, they had invented an engine that does not need fuel. Do you hear what I said? You wonder what I said? They have a generator that you don't put fuel inside. Just be running and powering your house. Have you ever heard of that before? No, even if not seen it, you've heard of it, people talking about it. The moment he told me, I asked them a simple question. I said, where is the energy coming from? You are going to power a house. I said, where is the energy? Energy must be consumed. Where is it? They explained that is the rotation. I said, no, I know the rotation. What is powering the rotation? They describe. I said, my guys, I'm not persuaded though. But I didn't think they were lying to me anyway. I gave them a counsel on some things, and I went to the office. I told one of my colleagues. I said, I had this experience yesterday. Somebody told me this. He said it's not possible. He gave me the year. He just told me straight. He said, from this particular year, long ago, maybe 100 years ago, the American Patent Office stopped granting patents for what they call perpetual motion machines. I said, thank you very much. That somebody in the group told me just made it. He said, I shouldn't. Now, what was the reason? I just said, where is the energy coming from? Because as a young student in secondary school, they told us about the fact that energy cannot be destroyed. It cannot be created out of nothing. It's only converted from one form to another. So I said, where are you converting your own from? And they gave me no answer, and they didn't believe it. Are you getting my point? That's why understanding is important. It makes your life easy. When they say invest 700 naira, and in 2 months, you make how much? I know, they said 30% per month. You heard of it? MMM Nigeria. I just asked a simple question. What is the question? Where is the money coming from? What are you selling? What are you buying? It's either goods or services. And if it ain't, I said, listen, my friend, if you don't have the answer, it's a pyramid scheme. It's a Ponzi scheme. Somebody's going to be hot at the bottom. Somebody says, it's working. I said, I don't need any more information. If you get, and you heard me, I came here immediately and warned everybody. When somebody's giving you 30% a month without telling you what he's doing, did he discover crude at the back of his backyard? In which case, he does not need your money. Somebody said, they said, the business they are doing, there's a business. You know, there's a way. I said, listen, if that's the truth, let's assume it's possible, right? Why will he give it to you? He'll go to the bank, take a loan at 30%, 20-something percent per annum, and give himself 30% per month. In 2 years, we have a second Dangote. Is that not so? Once he's offering to you, and he's not your pastor, even if it's your pastor, forget to. I see how the pastor fooling himself last week until my wife corrected it, put him back into order. Now, one friend said, why would a man give you the money? If he can make 30% a month on a business, he won't share it with you. The reason why he's asking you to put your money is because he's not making any money. He's using your money to pay those who paid ahead of you, and eventually everything will collapse. Why did I go into all of this? This is what understanding does for you. That's why you hear me say it all the time. They will say that one man was going on the road, winch doing like this, yeah. And since that time, he has been having a headache. You know my attitude, I just say, my friend Claire, I don't believe it. They say, why not? I said, did he offend the witch? Just walking on the road, witch just look like this, say, I don't like you. Why? All those are film. What did I call them? Film. It's film. I say, you just give somebody, if you give somebody money, he can use it to make you disappear. He said that this man said, I don't care who said it, it's a lie. What are you? You begged for money. With the spirit of God in me, I dashed you 200 naira to solve your problem. I will now disappear. Just pray I really disappear. Because if I reappear. So when you hear us talk sometimes, it's simply, it's understanding though. They say, wake up at night, that's when the witches are moving. I said, listen, my friend, you said you are very wicked. They chose to move at night. Relax. Sleep your own sleep. Don't wake up and get involved in the activity. Are you a witch? Are you getting my point? They say, go to the village and go and do deliverance. I said, don't worry. The witches in the village can't affect you in the city. Don't worry. And when you're going to the village, know the truth? They hear you are coming. They relocate. What is my reason? Greater is he that is in me because I'm in Christ than he that is in the world. That's it. That's it. There's no other explanation. Please, I'm not lying. God sees my heart. I've asked my wife, tell us the truth. Do you guys pray against witches in the house? If you ever hear the word witch in my mouth, it's when I'm preaching. Yeah. Prayer time in my house. Watch when my wife is drilling the children on how to pray. Their prayer is always, I have understanding. I'm a child of God. I am able to do this. It's about ability. As for the witches, I don't think my children know they are witches. It's only those bigger ones that come and listen to me. My children don't believe there's ojuju in the dark. You know what they call ojuju? No, children can be afraid of the dark. I'm not saying they are not. They may not be, though my children are not, but they don't. The concept of ojuju being inside a place, they did not grow up with it. The Lord is good. Why am I going through all of that? Just to emphasize to us what understanding does. Understanding just helps you to know that this thing can't happen the way they've said it. This thing is not true. He said that one woman in the village said that I will never marry. So anybody can say what they like. Buhari, everybody abusing me every day. He doesn't listen. Why are you listening? I don't know. Are you getting my point? Why are you listening? One day, man was driving past a man of God. Something happened. Somebody nudged him like this. You know what this means? So, waka, hair. The children, I said, Daddy, this is what he's doing. The man said, he's not doing anything. He said, look, he's doing waka. He said, no, he's just showing us that he has 5 complete fingers. Count them. That was his interpretation, that all this one you are doing. And do like, one day, one of my children came to report the one of your siblings. I said, what happened? He said, he told me Maggie. I said, what did he say? He said, he told me Maggie. So I asked our housekeeper, I said, Chi, we are big. What is Maggie? He said, it means meh to you. Oh, the Lord is good. So I told the little boy, don't mind, there's no meh to you, all right? You are fine. Because I didn't have to tell the little boy that it has no meaning now. Meh. You know, when you're a child, all right? When they tell you meh, you know, it's annoying. When you're an adult, when they do meh, you say, what's wrong with you? Why? As an adult, you know what matters in life. So meh doesn't do anything again. In the same manner, as a spiritual adult, when they tell you, say, which they do you, man, you say, that is the problem. When we say they are casting a spell, they don't have other work to do. That's what, how spiritual adults take all of those things. It's the same thing as children tend to say, man, the Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. Why are we going to all of that? Talking about what? Understanding. When you have understanding, believe me, you are free. The Lord is good. Let me not say anything further about that. Let's get into our teaching for today. It's our School of Bible Exegesis. Let's continue from where we stopped. Finish reading that portion of the book of Ephesians. Last time we read from verse 17 of chapter 4. And we are going to just continue from verse 1 of chapter 5. Now let me just quickly review one or two things. Remember we said that Paul wrote these two letters. The Colossian letter was first before the Ephesian letter. The Colossian letter was written specifically to a church, but the Ephesian letter was more of an encyclical. Now, in both of them, you see generally the same things talked about. One is a bit bigger than the other one. The smaller one, being the first one to be written, addresses specific issues, adapts some things to answer issues in a particular assembly or group of assemblies. But the official one is more, is broader. That is, so it doesn't usually address specific issues. But it does a lot of teaching us of the fundamental truths of Christianity. That's what you find in both of them. Last time I emphasized the fact that theory is a foundation for practice, for what is practical. It's only when you have understood the theoretical aspect that the practical aspect becomes easy. And that's what Paul did. If you take Ephesians as an example, the first 3 chapters, he was establishing spiritual truths. And then the latter 3 chapters, he began to give practical guides on how to live our lives as Christians. That book, and for both books, is where you will find, or are places where you will find some of the most detailed instructions given to Christians. All right? But I emphasized last time, let me just say it again. I emphasize that, you see, spiritual, the laws of Christianity are innumerable. They don't have a specific number. For Jews, we know they had 613. But for us Christians, every time in life, I said Christianity breeds. Every time you get into a particular situation, there is something you need to discover, which may not have been written before that time. We looked at one particular thing that Paul said in that, I think one of those last verses in chapter 4. He said, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, slander, you know, as well as all types of evil behavior. So we said that, you see, that's very general. There are many evil behaviors not described in the scriptures, but which we come to understand as we are living our lives. For example, there is no cocaine pushing in the Bible. There's no prohibition from the scriptures concerning drug dealing. Have you seen it? Anyway, the Bible never said that shall not be a cocaine dealer, because there were no cocaine dealers at that time. There was no cocaine. The Bible did not say that shall not be a sports fixer. Are you getting my point? But it's a general word. All such evil behaviors. All such types of evil behavior. So we know, just by observing it, that anything that appears like evil behavior is not a Christian. I mean, Christians should not be found in them. So those are the things we looked at last time, that listen, the laws of Christianity are just so many that they will keep on discovering them as we are moving in life, because this Holy Spirit is alive inside us. Now that's where we were. Let's now continue from that point, okay? Now remember, we're looking at the practical aspects of the Christian life. Let's read chapter 5 from verse 1. We stopped in chapter 4. It says, imitate God. Now I'm reading the New Living Translation. That's the main scripture I'm using to lead this, even though my normal, the usual one I read is New American Standard. It said, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. What is the example? He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. That is, the offering of himself as a sacrifice to God was something that was pleasing to the Lord. And he said that is an example of living a life filled with love. That's what he said we should do. If you listen to my series, there's a series we taught here some time ago titled Walking in the Spirit. I explained that because sometimes we use the expression walking in the Spirit. Some Christians look at it and say, what does it mean to walk in spirit? When I was in university, we had people behaving like that. When they are walking on the road, they are speaking in tongues. Are you getting my point? Not a bad thing. If you can do it, you will be blessed for it. Amen? All right. But that is not what it means to walk in the Spirit. When you tell the man, what would you want to eat? He comes to your house. You have rice. You have pounded yam with onugu soup. And you also have abacha there. I say, what do you want to eat? The man bows, puts his hand on his stomach, and begins to speak in tongues. Why? He wants to check what the Spirit says he should eat. Is that good? Is it bad? It is bad. It is bad. When you look at food, identify the one you like. Identify the one that agrees with you. Identify the one that your desire is speaking to at that point. I mean, and eat it. Stop harassing the Holy Spirit on what you should eat. If you have a problem with food, then pray about it. But it doesn't mean you are spiritual. It means you are fake when you behave like that. Don't harass us. I don't like fake spiritual people. They annoy me. Why am I behaving, talking like this? I have seen them for a very long time. Usually they are fake. It is not a sign of spirituality. It's a sign of ignorance. They want to pretend to you like they know God. They don't know anything. Half of the times they are not hearing anything, their own hearts are speaking to them. So that tomorrow when they want to confuse you, why are you not going to work today? My spirit says I should not go. Did you go last week? You did not go. The other week, you didn't go. You are a lazy man. Your spirit says you should not go to work. They now make this leading of the spirit thing. Alright? Just abuse it. No spirit abuse. There's drug abuse, Holy Ghost fire abuse, they've abused the spirit, all kinds of abuse. It's not right. At such times, the Lord expects you, this is spiritual work, use your intelligence. Put all the information you have together and make a decision. I don't want to eat this now. I'll be preaching the next 30 minutes. You weigh me down. It's simple. There's nothing like my spirit says I should not eat pounded yam at such times like this. I've been preaching for a long time. Eating pounded yam 30 minutes before you start ministering is not good for your spiritual work. When you want to pray, say, praise the Lord. I mean, you say, check him. Is it good? Are you getting my point? Don't make it look like... Anyway, I know what I'm trying to say. So when the Bible says walk in the Spirit, that's not what it means. Walking in the Spirit, all right, the summary of it, we talked about it that time. The summary of it, I can put a number of lines. One, walk according to the word of God as revealed. But when he was speaking specifically to the Galatians, what he was saying is that make sure that the love of God fills your heart when you want to make any decision. Walking in the Spirit simply means this thing we're about to do, how will it benefit people? That's it. What is guiding you is what, you know, many questions people ask in life, they never ask about the other party. If they did, the answer would be clear. The one I gave as an example last time, people say that where the Bible says we shouldn't marry two wives, call the women and say, where is it that you tell me the women that want husbands that have two wives? I don't know whether you get my point here. The men are arguing. Where did the Bible say we can't have two wives? Ask the women. That's all you need to do. Don't ask God. Okay, sisters, please put up your hand if you think women should be having two wives. There will be a crazy girls in there, I know. A few crazy girls will be there, I know. There are people like that. But most people say, like by an overwhelming majority of 1982, they will tell you, no, we don't like the idea. We like our husbands to ourselves. Think about them. You won't ask such foolish questions. Are you getting my point? So only when a man thinks he's the only one God created, that he decides that the Bible did not say I shouldn't marry two wives. Where did the Bible ever say one time that a woman can have two husbands? Just show me. Have you ever seen it? Why is everybody quiet? Am I saying things you don't believe? Where did the Bible ever say it? That a woman can have two husbands? It's not in the scriptures. It is not there. The only woman that God complained about, Jesus complained about, was how many husbands has she had? Five. And that was not even the problem. The one he had that time was not even a husband. Are you getting what I'm going to say here? So I'm talking about walking in the Spirit. This is what it means. This is a way to express walking in the Spirit. Verse 2. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice, a pleasing aroma to God. If you do that, you will find out many commandments are not necessary. You will find yourself doing what is right and not fulfilling the desires of the flesh. Now let's continue reading verse 3. Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. In case you don't know what greed is, it's trying to double your money overnight. That's what's called greed. It says, such sins have no place among God's people. Now notice this. Obscene stories, foolish talk, coarse jokes, these are not for you. Christians don't tell dirty jokes. Words for believers must be edifying. Everything you say. My wife still had a real time with my son this morning explaining this thing to him. If you see, we read this one yesterday. I just want to go back to it in chapter 4 quickly. When it was saying that your words must be, where is it? Quickly now, help me now. Am I the only one here? Chapter 4, where it was saying that your words must always... 29, yes. Let's just go back there for a second. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. He said, do not use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. The same thing he's talking about here in chapter 5. He said, obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes, these are not for you. That's one reason why I will not, you know, something like I told you, many of these things, there are no commandments about them, but use common sense. I am one person that I don't believe that you say this one is gospel music, this one is not gospel music, so Christian must never listen to one that's not gospel. I say, listen, my friend, it's not every music, entertainment does not have to be church. Just like your doctor does not have to be a Christian. Are you getting my point? But you use common sense in what you are doing. One of the reasons, as much as I like jokes, people who make you laugh, I like them a lot. The only reason why I will not pay my money or sit down and be listening to Basket Mouth and all those guys is that you listen to them once. I've never been to their shows, but I've seen them on a CD and all of that. A lot of the jokes are dead. Some of the things you hear in their CDs, they've been edited. They didn't let them record the whole thing. One day, there's one brother, I will not mention his name because it's very embarrassing. Powerful minister. I used to pastor a church. Now he's the comedian. One day I saw him on TV, cracking jokes. By the time he was done, I don't know whether I was with Israel. Yeah, that day I was with Israel. I said, Israel, Ichabod. What is Ichabod? The glory has departed. One day I was there when this man was ministering. In the last 10 years, okay, in the last, 15 years, I can count, he'll be among the top, he's among the top 5 meetings that I've attended. I've felt such a blessing coming forth from the pulpit. In the last 15 years, one of the meetings he preached in is among the top 5 that I've attended in the last 15 years. Yet now he's there on TV. I heard the joke he cracked that day. If Ali Baba said it, and not Ali Baba wouldn't even say that. Ali Baba doesn't do that. I wanted to say, Agoda, now I won't remember. From Basket Mouth, I may not be too disappointed. But from Agoda's mouth, I say, oh boy, it's not necessary. But from this preacher, I said to Israel, Ichabod, the glory has departed. And I just shook my head. The kind of joke you can't even repeat to explain to somebody, look at the bad thing he said. You have to go, when you want to say the joke, you hold your toothbrush. When you talk and finish, quickly brush. Spit, say, I just wanted to tell you what rubbish I heard today. That's why I don't need some commandments to not go to certain places. So when they are doing a night of 1,000 laughs, it's a nice idea, generally speaking, but I wouldn't pay to go because the kind of jokes they will tell, they will hurt my soul. So I like it when Christians crack their jokes and they are clean. Are you getting my point?
Yes, sir.
That's it. That's why I told you also, the Bible makes it clear that plain April Fool is very, very ungodly. Yes, I haven't done it in 28 years. Yeah, I'm not joking. The only one I fell for the temptation recently, that one was so funny. Somebody harassed everywhere. Like this, you know, WhatsApp is reading. This was a few years ago. So I fell for it, number one. It was so clever. I had a very good laugh. The guy said, check all your messages. It's been published somewhere on WhatsApp. I said, what? I quickly checked, only to find out, ooh, April Fool, you know, that kind of thing. All right, but generally, as I said, 28 years, I haven't done it. You know why? I just read the Bible. It said, like a madman casting fire and firebrands and arrows, so is a man who deceives his neighbor and says, was I not joking? That's what Solomon said. The day I read it, I said, ah, wait, there is a better way to make people laugh. So it says, obscene stories, foolish talk, coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. Let there be thanksgiving. Let there be giving of thanks. You know, I said something earlier. Anytime God says, don't do this, look closely. There's always a replacement. It doesn't leave you hanging. If he says, don't talk like this, he'll tell you how to talk. Because you must talk. He created you to talk. If he says, don't keep company here, look closely. There's a place you should keep company. And if you don't keep company where he says you should, you will find yourself where he said you should not. Because company, you must keep. Are you getting my point? So when the Bible says, don't do this, he tells you what to do. For example, that's another thing that I don't laugh at it. You mock the head of state, no matter how much I don't like him, I don't laugh. The president? No, once he's in power, no. In fact, the truth is I don't even find it funny. Because if I'm praying for a man, you can't be mocking him as you be funny. All the jokes they cracked about Buhari, I laughed last while it was still contest time. Are you getting my point? When it was election, when it was a campaign, they were still contesting. Once he sat on the seat, anything you say, number one, I'm not likely to see it. I hardly talk to people who do such thing. We're not that close. But when I do get it, I don't find it funny. I don't. It just, in fact, for you to know, it's a matter of policy. Recently, I saw one that they shared when the campaigns were going on. And I laughed. I shared it. We laughed about it. The moment the man won the election, I stopped. It's not funny again. Why is the head of state? I can't be praying for him that he will do well, and I'll be making mockery of his soul. It's not allowed. It is not allowed. So let's bear this in mind. I told you, look, the commandments of Christianity, they are innumerable. If it was by our power, and God said, what would you like to be, Christian or Jew? I'll say Jew. Because the Jew, I have only 613. I also master them. Some of them just kept once a year. Many of them is once a year, twice a year, three times a year. But Christian one keeps evolving. There's nothing like don't crack dirty jokes amongst the Jewish laws. But for us believers, it is expected. We don't have commandments that have ticked this one off. But when we understand the spirit, we start working appropriately. Let's continue reading. So he said, instead of doing all of these things, what should we be doing? Let's be thankful. Somebody says something negative about the head of state, give thanks for his life. They say something negative about the economy, give thanks for the economy. Look for something to thank God for. You are preaching freely. You've gathered freely. You are not hiding. Is that not enough to thank God for? He said, instead, let there be giving of thanks. Verse 5. You can be sure that no immoral... Now, please, I want you to understand this. Verse 5. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshipping the things of this world. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these things. For the anger of God will fall on all who disobey them. Whether they are Christians or not. I added those last words. He said, don't participate in the things these people do. Let me stop there before I read verse 8. Please, this is important to emphasize. When he was saying, let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, greed, cracking of useless jokes, telling obscene stories, viewing pornography, obscene stories. That's where I got that one from. Okay? Just adding my own to it. He said, why am I telling you this? Because you can be sure that if you are doing these things, you will not inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. I said something at the beginning when I was dividing this into two. All right? That having established the spiritual principles, the truth of the realm of the spirit, he now said, let's now get down to the practical side. Now, what is the implication of this practical side? The implication is that, number one, I said something, that if you are really walking by faith, if you believe the spiritual things, these practical things will come out of you naturally. That's number one I said. I said, number two, if you do the things he said you should not do, what you are doing is that you are obstructing the flow of the blessing from the realm of the spirit that's supposed to flow from there into the physical realm. I said that. I said those two things. Now, so look at this now. Paul was not emphasizing. Why am I teaching you these things? Is this the way by which we attain righteousness by not doing these things? He said, no. Is this the way by which you get our results from God? He said, no. He said, but I can assure you. I said, let there be no greedy person. Let there be no impure person. Let there be no immoral, that is sexually speaking. Let there be no sexually immoral person amongst you. Why am I saying it? That no matter how hard you pray, no matter how hard you fast, no matter how hard you try to operate certain spiritual principles, if you practice these things, you will not inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. And kingdom of Christ does not, and of God does not mean just when you die. Because Jesus said something. If I, by the finger of God, do these things, he says, what does that mean? It means the kingdom of God is amongst you. That is, what you saw Jesus represent, going around healing the sick, raising the dead, doing all those mighty works, doing good, that was a manifestation of God's kingdom. He was saying to believers, if you don't get away from these things, all this prayer you are praying for breakthrough, forget it. Is there all these prayers for breakthrough? Forget it. Listen. Oh, God. You know, this Bible is very deep. It's very, very deep. Daniel prayed. How long did it take his answer to reach him? How long? Is there a reason why you can't talk loud? I'm just curious. I mean, you know, it's cold, I know, but the AC is off on that side. So those of you on this side, I'm sure you are warmer. How long did it take?
21 days.
I see, I was right. They are warmer. The Lord is good. The question is, why? Many times, all right, of course, we know, the angel said clearly, the very first day you began to pray, I was dispatched. To get to you, I had quarrels on the way. There was one, we Christians generally say it's an evil spirit, a principality and power, prince of, but the Bible only says a prince of Persia. And in the same manner, he said there is a prince of your people, that's Michael. So they were princes, okay? Now the prince of Persia withstood me. Now I don't know whether I was an evil spirit or an angel on his own assignment, because now so angels be. Each person does his job. He doesn't care what the other fellow is doing. Did you hear what I said? That's why one almost killed Balaam. And the angel of death didn't care who you were. Eh? Even if you are the first son of Moses, if you are in a house that didn't have door, have blood on the door, you're dead. That's how angels behave. So I don't know, that prince of Persia, who was he? I don't know. But the point is that certain things were out of order. That was why he withstood that guy from getting to Daniel for 21 days. Now, I'm not even analyzing him. Don't get stuck on what I've said about him. Don't just ignore it for a while, because there's a lot of depth about it. You know, I said, what about when Michael came with the impression we had? Look, that story is long. Let's not even discuss it. But look, that story just tells us one thing. God can release an answer and it doesn't get to you. Yes, that's all I want to get from that story. Let's not even analyze who was he, where did he come from, why was he there, why did he withstand? Let's not even talk about that. Just know one thing. God can release an answer and doesn't get there. So anytime God says, a father of many nations I have made thee. That day, the angel is dispatched, so to speak. The answer is dispatched. That day, the thing is activated. Between the day the Lord says it and Abraham receives Isaac is 21 days. Are you getting my point? Figuratively speaking now, 21 days. It takes 21 days in which negotiations are going on. Training is going on. Correction is going on. For the word that was released at the beginning to be able to reach the man. Let's not sit on it. Paul now said this to us here. You can be sure that barrier will be there strong if the person is greedy. Verse 5 now. You can be sure that barrier will not be moved if the fellow is immoral, impure, or greedy. He will not inherit the kingdom of God and of Christ. Even though he has been blessed, she has been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. That is why, let me get back to it again. All this prosper, me, it doesn't impress me. You can see the Lord began to tell me what the Lord said and what you will experience are two different things. Oh, two different things. Get my message, the one I preached at one full gospel meeting, titled The Role of Prophecy in the Life of a Believer. What the Lord said and what you will experience are two different things. It is your duty as a believer to ensure that what the Lord said comes to pass in your life. The Lord said to Abraham, a father of many nations I have made thee. That is what he said. What will Abraham experience? If he will walk before him and be perfect, then that thing he said will come into his life. What will Abraham experience? You know that one of our favorite scriptures here, Genesis chapter 18, verse 19. I have chosen him that he will do what? Train his children and his household after him in the way of the Lord. How to do what? Righteousness and?
Justice.
What? Righteousness and justice. Said, then what God said will come to pass. Which means if they don't do righteousness, they don't do justice, what God said is just hanging. I hope you are getting my point. That's why Paul was giving these direct instructions. He said, don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins. I was born like that. In our family, we are very stubborn people. You've not heard it before? No. It's from my father's side. We don't take nonsense. We are hot-tempered. I was abused as a child. That's American story. Nigerians don't tell that. That's how you know that those stories are lies. We don't tell those stories. Not as if things like that don't happen. But the Bible says, don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins. Or those who say, it's your spirit that is righteous. You are of God. Anything you do cannot be a sin, because whoever is of God does not sin. You see, Ananias and Sapphira, they were not Christians. That's why they died. That's an invention. The Bible makes it clear they believed. He said, don't be fooled by those who try to excuse those sins. For the anger of God will fall on all who disobey him. And he was speaking specifically about those who persist in doing these things. He wasn't writing this to the community in Ephesus. He wasn't writing this to the community in Colossae. No, he was writing it to the church and warning them that the fact that I preach the righteousness of faith does not mean you live carelessly. If you live carelessly, having heard the righteousness of faith, you will die the death of sin. Are you getting my point? That's the way it is. That's exactly what he was trying to say here. He said, let's continue reading, verse 7. Don't participate in things these people do. For once you were full of darkness. We talked about that last time. But now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light. For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Let's look at it again. He said, there was a time you were an unbeliever. There was a time you did not understand the concept of the righteousness that is in God. He said, but that was then. This is now. Now you are questioning what people said were normal practices. At least now you can question it. There are things people told you it was okay. You do it. That's what young men do. That's what young women do. Fine. Paul said, there's no problem. That was a time of darkness. He said, but now you have light. Now you have light. Now you know it is wrong. Now you can be questioned. Now it comes to your mind. It becomes a topic of discussion in church. There are things that some people don't understand. Look, there was something somebody, I think it was Chuck, that told me once. He said, Pastor, thank you very much for this teaching. He said, look, some of these things, we're talking about parents and all of that. He said, we didn't used to do them. Not because we were wicked, but nobody taught us that they were supposed to be done. Are you getting my point? That's what Paul was saying. That there was a time of darkness. You did not know this was wrong. He said, but now you know. Don't excuse it. Because the number one reason why people can't be delivered is excuses. That's number one reason. You know, you just have to, that is, if a true believer settles down and accepts this is wrong, deliverance is close. The reason why many people can't be delivered is that it's not with them that this is wrong. It is not with them that this is displeasing to the Lord. The Lord is not so real to them. What matters is, let my pastor not find out. Let my church not find out. It will hurt my position in church. And once you have that kind of attitude, God does not supply the spirit to overcome. What I'm telling you is a matter of fact. When you are persuaded something is out of order, deliverance from the bondage is so quick, is so close. Please go and listen to that series. I don't think I actually need to teach much about it again. I'll just take a few minutes along the line. Dominion over sin. We'll talk about it. Here, Paul said, don't be fooled by those who try to make excuses. That's in verse 6. He said, now you have light. Don't let them lie to you. That's one common teaching in some churches around. I tell you that it's your spirit that matters. Have you heard it before? Your spirit. Your spirit cannot fornicate, can't commit adultery. Your spirit can't lie. Why? It's of God. The seed of God dwells in you. Anything you do outside is of the body. Listen to me. It's a lie. What did I say? What did I say? As long as that your spirit and that your soul is existing on this earth, inside this your body, anything you do with it that disobeys God is begging for judgment. Let's continue reading. He said, this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. I said last time, we have a responsibility to separate it from the darkness. Remember that. In verse 10,
carefully determine what pleases the Lord. This version is good. Oh, it's sweet. He said, carefully determine what pleases the Lord. My normal version, New American Standard, I use the expression, trying to learn. That's also good. That you keep on learning what pleases the Lord. And that's one thing people must understand. As believers, we are disciples. We are supposed to continue to learn. New Living Translation puts it like this. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. That is, once you have determined that this does not please the Lord, please stop getting engaged in it. He said, instead, expose them. He said, it is shameful even to talk about the things that ungodly people do in secret. But their evil intentions will be exposed when the light shines on them. For the light makes everything visible. This is why it said, awake, O sleeper, rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light. That is, you that Christ has shone upon, you now know what is right, and you will not do the things that are done in secret by other people. Please, before we leave that segment, I need to emphasize what he said. Carefully determine, or always try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. You know, there are a number of people who come to me once in a while, or maybe after Bible study, they ask me questions. That's what the Bible talks about. If I remember, it started to come the other day. You know, they ask you things like, a Salah period. Should I eat meat if a Muslim gives it to me? Now, let me tell you something. That is a good attitude. I hope you get my point. Is that attitude I'm talking about? Why? They want to know, is it pleasing to the Lord? Or in my office, something happened the other day. But this is a real one now, okay? They will come. A brother told us this. They will come to you and say, in my office, something happened the other day. There was a man, we were doing business. I work for a government agency. He did a contract. We didn't take bribe from him. But when it was done, he brought this amount of money. And then we shared it. Is it okay if I take from it? I'm not answering any of these questions now. You know why? If you take, I mean, these are all topics in themselves. But I'm trying to give you the attitude of believers. And we sat down, this was done in my convention. And I remember I asked this question, asked another question. I said, no, if it's like this, sir, you can't take the money. Because, you see, you are going to have a conflict of interest. And we're discussing. Are you getting my point? What are we trying to do? Let's find out what pleases the Lord. Not what pleases my pocket. Not what pleases my society. Where I come from, there's nothing wrong with it. My friends like it like that. As long as I'm not hurting anybody. Like I was talking to somebody the other day. We were talking about, you know, the fellow they live abroad, all right? We were talking about this homosexuality and all of that. He said, no, what they are doing does not hurt anybody. Are you getting my point? That was not the argument. The person in question doesn't believe in it. So I said to her, I said, oh, so you are going to raise your children under the influence of what they are doing is not hurting anybody. Then your son comes up tomorrow, he will remind you that what I'm doing is not hurting you. It's not whether they are hurting anybody or not. It is what I am doing. Is it pleasing the Lord? It's not whether I'm hurting anybody. I'm talking about discipleship. Disciples are concerned about this thing I'm doing. That's what I mean. When we ask, when people come to me once in a while, ask questions, or you gather with your friends, listen, you know, this happened between me and my wife. This is how I responded. Do you think the Lord is happy with that? It is not about, I felt good. I know. You know me, I don't take rubbish. They know me now. From the time I was in school, people know that this guy, you know, they take nonsense. I didn't take it then. My wife thinks I'll not take it now. Nonsense. No. That's not Christianity. Christianity, this is how I reacted. This is how I responded. My brother, my sister, do you think that is pleasing to the Lord? Somebody will not take a scripture and say, well, no, this is not. This one is. We're trying to balance this and this. What are we trying to do? We are trying to determine that these things we are doing are pleasing to the Lord. That's what Christianity is about. And that is why I told you the laws are innumerable. There are so many laws. You can't write laws. You can't. For Christians, you can't. What you can do is to teach them precepts. Teach them principles. They have the Spirit of God in them. That Spirit of God that's in them starts bringing up things to them. They say, no, don't do this. There are times a man will start telling you, I'm uncomfortable about something I'm doing. He doesn't know why. It's the Holy Spirit prompting him. But the Holy Spirit is not telling him anything. So he comes to church and says, Pastor, look, this has been going on for some time. What do you think? And I say, this is what the scripture says. That's what Christianity is about. Doing things that are pleasing to the Lord. David Paulson told a story. He was talking about repentance, okay? He said there was a young lady once that he was counseling with. She gave her life to Christ. Every time she would come back, that things are not working. She can't understand that her spirit is just not settled. She knows something is wrong. She feels like she's not really born again. So he said, as he was talking to her, he kept on praying. Lord, give me a word for this girl. Then finally, just asked her a simple question. The guy you are living with, are you married? That's what they call a word of knowledge, for those who don't know. He didn't know her from Adam. He didn't know her. Just used to see her in church. And she came for counseling. Just asked her simply, the guy you are living with, are you married? And he said, the guy said, no, their marriage is just paper. It doesn't matter. Do you see what I said? That's just paper. It does not matter. I'll tell you. The Lord is, I'm adding my own words now. The Lord does not like it like that. And that is why your spirit haven't settled all this while. Tell him, you have no business living with him if you are not married. He said, but he doesn't want to marry. And then you nicely find a way. And the man said, I wish I could tell you that she did what I said. Let's leave the story there anyway. Let's not go further. Are you getting my point here? These are the guiding rules for believers. These are the guiding rules. What I'm doing, is it pleasing to the Lord? Let's continue reading. Watch my time. Which verse am I in? 15. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Fools are those who do all of these things that we're talking about. Make the most, he says of, in verse 16, of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what God wants you to do. Let's read verse 17 in common language, that is in common scriptural language. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of God is. He said, do not be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, with the Holy Spirit. I told you before, every time God will always tell you, do this, when he's telling you, don't do the other one. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, which means be drunk to excess with the Holy Spirit. And this is the manifestation and how you come about it. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves and making music to the Lord in your hearts. And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is repeating himself, and I notice if you look at this reading, he says the same thing again and again. Earlier on, he says, don't let foolish talk be in your mouth. Don't talk anyhow. Instead, let there be what? Giving of thanks. He's now back to it again. And he's telling us, this is how you handle it. Don't act thoughtlessly. Understand what the will of God is. The will of God is something you can understand. Bear that in mind. The will of... Can I just take a... No, it's not really a digression. We are talking here. All right? Yeah, that's why I'm going to start. Stop verse 15. And stop reading Ephesians chapter 5. We'll now go to Colossians chapter 3. Now, what I just want to bring out here is this. Let me just point out a thing or two. When it says, don't live foolishly. Don't be unwise. Understand what the will of God is. Let me just really drop it. Many times people look at the will of God. Does God want me to go upstairs or he wants me to go downstairs? I will now pray and say, in my spirit, I hear upstairs. Is that what the will of God means? No. God often tells, of course, he oftentimes tells us, go this way or don't go that way. But that's not just what the will of God is. The will of God is something you understand. That's what I want to emphasize. It's something you understand. Why you should go up and why you should go downstairs may not be understandable. Are you getting my point? All right. But the will of God is something you understand. So when it says make the use of every opportunity, let me add my own modern expression. Take advantage of every device, every meeting. You have a smartphone, use it. You get my point? To understand the will of God. What is the will of God? It's just the precepts, the principles of God by which he expects us to walk. It's not just that, because let me tell you something about the will of God. It's something I can teach you. It's something you can teach me. It's something you can teach your neighbor. It's something you can teach your friend. Definitely, it's something you can teach your children. It's something you can teach those who are under you, the will of God. But that does not mean you are making specific decisions for them. The will of God is the way God reasons. Are you getting my point? Is the way God, he said, look, Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you will know what the will of God is. It is the mind is how you decode the things that you see. So when you say knowing the will of God, people they want to learn to pray until their spirit talks. Listen, those are not things you learn. What you learn is, does God like A or B? You find out that A with God is iniquity. B with God is righteousness. You have coded that one. Does God like C or D? C is a precept that's in accordance with his principle of love. D is selfishness. You've coded that one. Then one day you get into a situation, you find a mixture of A, B, C, D, E, F, all of them mixed together. Then you start dissecting, using the understanding you have of what God loves and what he does not. Then when you're done, you now say, having put all the things together, this is the best decision to make. And God says, that is true. That is what my will is under such circumstances. Are you getting my point here? We're not looking at it now in detail. There's this particular series I taught recently. I think we should get it out here maybe by next week or so. Understanding the will of God. Try and get a copy of it. About 8 messages. I taught on this issue of understanding the will of God. You will find out that they wrote to Paul at a particular point in time concerning marriage, you know, stuff like that. He will say, concerning this, the Lord said, I should tell you this. Concerning this, the Lord did not say anything, but I have the Spirit of God. And he gives them instructions that we now call scripture. Why? Because God did not say anything to him. You know why? Because he knew that Paul knew what to say. So when Paul went to pray, God didn't answer. What was he saying in effect? Paul, you know what to say. That you know me enough to answer that one. But for this one, I'll give you an answer because I know you don't understand that part yet. So the will of God is not what, it is why. The will of God is not what, it's how. Are you getting my point? Let me give an example. A woman comes to me and says, sir, these boys won't let me rest. There are 5 of them. They say they want to marry me. It will happen, it's happened to some of you. It's happening to some of you right now. It will happen to some of you later. In the space of 1 month, 5 people will be pursuing only you. Now, I want to give a simple example of, you say, which one is the will of God? It's simple. First, this guy, which church does he go to? He doesn't believe in church much. I said, why are we even here talking? Remember that our brother that came the other day? He came, was saying that there's this girl, by the time he finished talking. He said, the problem I have with her is this, and that. So, I was sitting down here. So I looked at him. I said, oh boy, why are we talking about this? I said, this girl, I don't even think she's born again. From what you have told me, you know, sometimes it's as if a man is playing, you know, like a Russian roulette. You carry a gun, has 6 chambers, bullets inside it. You remove 5. There's only 1 left. You roll it, and do like this, and start pushing. Which means that every time you pull the trigger, there's a 1 in 5 chance you will die. 1 in 6 chance you will die. Why do you marry like that? You marry a woman that's a 1 in 2 chance she's going to kill you. What is it? Now, breasts never see before. These men, they crazy. You see, you know why they didn't laugh? They are guilty. You, the way you are turning your head up and down. When I thought that, you guys look at her, go one side. You can't marry her. Beauty is vain. The Lord is good. You can't marry a woman because she's fine. You did, Chris? Some people will be marrying a woman because she looks like this mad girl. Kim Kardashian. People who are going to direct hellfire. You know, guys are very fun. I told that boy that day, I said, wait, why are we even discussing? Why are we discussing? That is, I don't get it. This is not supposed to be a topic of discussion. With your own mouth, you have told me. So out of the 5 guys, you know, I've written 2 off already. I said 2. Are you the one preaching? I made up my mind, it's 2 now. Look, let me tell you why I wrote 2. Why I said 2. I wasn't a mistake. First, the other fellow, he's not a believer at all. Then I told the story of one guy who came with 1 girl that was like that. So that's the second one I'm writing off. Now, we're looking at all of these things. Then you should, maybe me and you have been talking for some time. You say you are feeling the call of God to ministry and all of that. And the Lord, you know, I want to preach the word of God in Rwanda. You want to preach the word of God in Lusaka. You want to preach, that's Angola. You want to preach the word of God in Abakaliki. And God, in fact, one brother called me today. I said, how is, I mentioned his place. He said, that's not where I am right now, sir. I'm in so and so place. I said, where is that? Is it in Nigeria? He said, yes, sir, River State. I said, okay. Safe journey home. What are you doing there? The last program we did, we are planning something. Are you getting my point? So we have this base. We have a base there. There are about 150 young people that came today. Wow. Now, you're having such plans. Such people are motivating you. You now marry a girl. This light in Nigeria is not constant. You see her nails always shining. I heard it's seven people that did the, you know, the braids. Took them 2 days. And you think you are going to be a successful preacher? You can't preach. Why are you fooling yourself? You will never be able to preach. Seven people. Now I say, okay. The girl, will, you know, they will call you one day. Praise. As I was praying, the Lord said we should move to America. He said, no, God didn't say to you. He said, are you saying I don't know when God is talking to me? And you'll be praying that morning. Hallelujah, Father God, we worship you. Oh, hallelujah. Thus says the Lord, America, my children, that's how you go. It is not her, it is you. You saw girls that have gone to jungle before, you didn't marry them. You want to marry an American chick. Listen, there are things that you don't need prayer. This girl has said that all her children must be born in America. Meanwhile, you want to do ministry. Why are you begging for trouble? I don't know for people though. They say God is speaking. God is not speaking. You are stupid. There are basic things that a man used to look at. Say, this man and this girl. Go and listen to my series, How to Find True Love. You should know those you are running the same direction. You should know now. Ah, who's in boat needs a partner to run 4x100. He goes to collect Haile Gebrselassie. Look, Gebrselassie is not a bad guy. But he runs 42 kilometers. And people like that are not in a hurry. These are they run their own run. That is, they're not in a hurry. This one is, where are you running to? And if you see them, the muscles are different. Those guys that run 100 meters, you see they're thick. If you know any physiology, they don't use oxygen much for their muscles because it's just a few seconds, 9-10 seconds. The muscles are running so fast, they blast. No, they're not going to physiology. But those guys that run 42 kilometers, they're like antelope. Isn't it? On the road, they collect water and drink. That water is not ordinary water. Glucose day. Guys who are doing 100 meters, lie. So you want to do 100 meters ministry, 42 kilometers ministry. You look for a girl where they wear 100 kilometer dress, 100 meters dress, 100 meters dreams. Is she a bad person? No. She's just not your wife. So all the prayer, you see, this is how God answers prayers. All the prayer you've been praying, you've seen it now. The Lord is good. There's one sister, I was saying, one day, visiting one brother once, he says in ministry. Say, where are your books? Say, I don't read books. What did he say that time? That all my books are in my heart. The girl carried, I'll see you later. I am going, no. This is all of us, we fail together. Fail by yourself. The men I know, they told me that for a preacher, you must be an ardent reader. I come to your house, I look. You want to show me plasma TV? You are supposed to be a preacher. Thank God for plasma TV. I like your AC, the latest model. Where is the book you are reading? Pastor. Say no. I'm inspired. I don't need all these kind of things like books. And the sister carried her bag. It was nice. That's a very nice house you have. God bless you. I see you another time. Feel by yourself. I'm not joining you. The Lord is good. Listen, what am I going to say here? There's what they call the will of God. It's something we can understand. It's something we can learn. There are basic things. This is why I like to explain it. In there to replace Judas. Judas, he fell out. He committed suicide. Out of 12 that Jesus specifically chose, one was missing. And Peter rose up and said, his place let another take. So what do we do? Let's replace him. How do we choose the person? If it's many of us modern-day Pentecostals, we say, "Brother, let us pray." Hey, God, hey, shut up. Shh, everybody quiet. What's the Lord saying to your heart? The Lord says, Tychicus. You unko? He says, Archippus. You unko? He says, Matthias. He says, Peter by Jonah the second. Say, no, let's pray some more. Hey, Kelebo, go to Gaba, Gago, Shogo, go, Legebe, Lebe. Who took my Honda? I parked it outside. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You pray. The after a while, he said, what's the Lord saying? They will pray for 6 weeks on confusion. Peter didn't say that. Peter said, his place, let another take. Now, the person who will replace him, one, must have been with us from the beginning. He must have witnessed everything he said and did. He must have been a witness of the crucifixion, the burial, and the resurrection. Such a person will be a witness of his life. Now, of all of us that are here, how many people fit those criteria? One guy gets up and says, I fit. Say, but you, were you there at the baptism? No, you had not joined John that time. We are sorry. You missed it by just 2 days. You are out. They checked. You traveled the week before the crucifixion. We are sorry, you cannot be there. You, the morning of resurrection when we were seeing him, that was the day your mother was sick and you went to take care of her. We are sorry, nothing, we are not angry, but you're supposed to be an eyewitness of everything. When they finished, they had only two people. What are their names? Matthias and? The Lord is good. Open your Bible. They know they quarrel for river. Whether soup they foam or you know they foam. All right. Chapter 1, verse 23. So they nominated two men. Okay, but please, let me just read, because we're opening the Bible. Let's just read this portion from the scriptures, all right? Because of what I've been saying, let's just take it from verse 21. So now we must choose a replacement for Judas among the men. Now listen to this. These are the criteria. Among the men who were with us the entire time we were traveling with the Lord Jesus, from the time he was baptized by John until the day he was taken from us, that is the day of resurrection, ascension to heaven, whoever is chosen will join us as a witness of Jesus' resurrection. Did you see that? He said, whoever we choose must become with us a witness of his resurrection. So they nominated two men. That is, they went through everybody. One, Joseph, called Barsabbas, also known as Justus. And the second person, Matthias. Now listen to this, verse 24. Then they now prayed and said, O Lord, you know every heart. Show us which of these men you have chosen as an apostle to replace Judas in this ministry. Then, verse 26, they cast lots, and Matthias was selected to become an apostle with the other 11. Did you see the way it was? I am not saying you always have the wisdom, but I'm saying before you start saying, God, show me which one, use the wisdom you have already. Spiritual wisdom, not village wisdom. Not my father said, my husband must have two cars. That's not what I mean. I mean spiritual wisdom. Go and listen to my series, my message, How to Find True Love. That sister I was talking about earlier, assuming that there are five guys, we have ruled out three. From just common sense, common spiritual reasoning. This guy is not a believer, forget him. This one is not serious, only come to church because of you, forget him. Why are we even talking about him? Or let's turn to the other side now. Why are we talking about her? Is it because she's fine? You never see a fine girl before? The Bible says, this is spiritual reasoning. Charm is deceitful. Beauty is what? Zero, zero, zero. It's vain. Beauty is vain. Say, you know, there's something I just like about women. When their hips are like this, slap the guy on one side. See, no, really. You should tell Christians the truth. You know, when you are growing old, it's good. You'll be able to counsel young people. You go drag them by shirt like this, say, you are very stupid. You know, when you are young, you can't do that. But when you don't reach one level in life, you guys say, good morning, sir. Say, no, I like her. Why? Because, you see, when I see women who are like this, you are getting my point. He said, listen, the Bible says beauty is vain. We use all of that to rule things out. He said, but I like him, you know, he can take care of me. He can take good care of me. Why? He has built a duplex in Independence layout. And then he has two cars. He said, once I marry him, this car will be my own.
Say, why are we talking about this? Have you never read that he said, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses? Common sense. This is what we call spiritual common sense. We put these things together, we rule out this guy, until now remains only two. People say, as a Christian, you cannot ask God for a sign. Listen, I am one person that believes that if the heart is clean and the wisdom has been exhausted, you can ask God for signs. Those who can't ask God for signs are those that their hearts are not clean and they have not yet exhausted the wisdom that is available to everybody. There's a way you can mock God. You make a fool of him. You come to people, maybe come to Apostle Okemute. He finishes, okay, there are five of them. Number one, he tells you, it is clear, this guy is not a believer. You are still quarreling with him on who is that girl, who is not that girl. You get to his house, he locks the door, you knock, 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 he doesn't open the door because there's one somebody inside. And you are still coming to me to pray whether God wants him to marry him, or you to marry him. You know what I will tell you? Yes. I will do you what God did to Balaam. The Lord is good. Let me tell you the truth. That is how, this is simple spiritual reasoning. Can you give God a sign? Of course you can give him a sign. You can ask him for a sign. What did he say? If you have fulfilled every other wise criterion that he gave everybody, you can ask for a sign. The reason why you can't ask for a sign is when we have finished all of these things, you now go to pray. Say, God, which one do you want me to marry? And you still include all these people that we have said clearly, using the scriptures that they cannot be of God. You still put it there. Then you will now do all your signs. You will now marry Ahab. People will now be using you to preach later. That you see, asking God for signs doesn't work. Asking God for signs works if used properly. Are you getting my point here? You don't use signs until you have exhausted spiritual intelligence. You don't request for signs until each one you place before God, he can see clearly from your clean heart that there is not any spiritual intelligence left with you. You have seen? Let's talk about women now because they are the ones that, talking about a guy asking questions. You are in fellowship. You have seen all of this. You have seen it. And listen, this girl and this girl, all of you are in the choir. You've checked everything. There's no one is not better than the other as an example. Or let's even leave that. It's just one person, one man. It's pushing only you, a woman. Everything you know has been fulfilled. He's a good Christian. He loves the Lord. All things have passed away in his life. Are you getting my point? Yes, he's not rich yet. That's not a big deal. You've seen from the scripture, it doesn't matter either this way or that way. And I say, is he the one, Lord? Please give me a sign. He will give you a sign. But if the guy breaks all spiritual rules, he's an unbeliever, he smokes in secret, you've caught him two times, he's just coming to church because of you. When you are not in time, he doesn't go to church. You now say, God, give me a sign. And so God will look you. Say, Lord, sign. Say, what did you say? You say anything? Did you say nothing? Say it again. Say, the Lord is not talking to me. Your pastor will open for Ezekiel chapter 14. Say, the idols in your heart is not letting you hear what he's saying. He said, God, you must talk. Otherwise, I will not take any action. God said, okay, marry him. It's called the Balaamic answer. It's the answer of Balaam. That as you are going to marry him, an angel will now wait on the road. Say, I'm going to kill you today. He said, why? But the Lord said, I should go. Hey, he said, cross here. That is not your donkey that will talk. It's your car. Your engine, your bonnet will open. Let us go back home. He said, hey, brethren. He said, this guy, what's this rubbish car? He said, all these days I have carried thee. Have I ever knocked engine under you before? The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. Why? That happens when people refuse spiritual intelligence. They are looking for signs. But if that spiritual intelligence is intact, we have obeyed it. God says we have obeyed it. But now we have to make a choice. Do we go forward or go backwards? We don't know which one to do. Just like they put forth Joseph and Matthias, or Justus, the other name for that Joseph. They now put a sign. Ordinary, listen to this. Ordinary tossing of the coin
At that point, becomes the answer from God. People say, no, God will speak to you in your spirit. He has spoken everything your spirit is going to say that you can hear. It remains only two people. One is called Justus. The other one is called Matthias. Which of the two? The Bible said, then they cast lots. And Matthias was selected. I've heard people say that it's because the Holy Spirit has not yet come. It's not true. It's not true. It is simply because this is the order of life. This is the order of life. You follow the word of God. They followed it to the letter. Then there was no way forward. The Holy Spirit is not, because the Bible, look, lots, God speaks through lots. The Bible says so. There are people who don't know when to use it. That's what the problem is. You can't want to choose whether you should marry this girl or not. And you know she's an unbeliever. Now just saying that figure 8, they worry your soul. And you are casting lots. The lot will lie to you. Yeah, it will lie to you. The Lord is good. Let's just continue. So that's the point I'm trying to make. So you find out that, listen, the will of God is something we can understand. I just wanted to drop that one. And then we'll go on. Please, let's read this one. Verse 20. Yes, okay. So if you read from verse 18 to verse 20, it said, don't be drunk with wine, but be drunk with the Spirit. That's what I was trying to say. How do you get drunk with the Spirit? It is simply by feeding on the wine. So until you overflow with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And music is bubbling in your heart to the Lord. That is a sign that you are being filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit is not just about you are speaking in tongues. That's not the only thing. Filled with the Spirit is an everyday experience. How do you know a man who's drunk on wine? How do you know? He staggers. He talks anyhow. He says things that you don't think he should say. In the same manner, somebody who's drunk with the Spirit, he also staggers, you know what I mean, in that particular way, and says things that normal people don't say. There's a particular message I had those days, I don't know whether we still have in our collection, by Bishop David Oyedepo, called it Intoxication of the Word. Powerful message. I think I'll look for it in my house. Powerful. That if you want to get intoxicated, this is what you do. You stay on wine. They don't give you a bottle of beer and you get drunk, unless you never drink before. Are you getting my point? If you want to know how people get drunk, go downstairs at night in that place. You know what I'm talking about. Just at the end of this building, the other side. Just sit down there and watch. It is one bottle after another. Another bottle, then another bottle. Then when the guy has gone through a number of bottles and he gets up, then he has to hold the table to right himself. Then you know, yes, he has hit the spot. One day, one of my staff called me at night around 10 o'clock. Old man. He said, I saw his name. The phone rang. I saw his name. I was surprised around 10. Why is this man calling me? Hello? He said, Daddy? I was shocked. He began to say this and say that. And I said, okay, good night. We'll see tomorrow. He said, tomorrow? Tomorrow again? So I hung the phone. Next day I went to work. There's one lady that worked in the office. I said, see, what's happened yesterday? He said, I said, they call person for night. I said, he hasn't come before. He said, every night, he will go out, he will drink his life out. Then he'll now get home and carry his phone. And that day, it hit my number. That's how I know people are drunk. If you are not laughing in the midst of dark sadness, you are not drunk yet. Are you getting my point?
Yeah.
Bishop Oyedepo said that, listen, when you want to get drunk, you tarry at the bottle. You don't glance at the bottle and you get drunk. They are preaching over there and you will get drunk. No, you have to stay where the word is coming forth. Like that pastor that I said called me just now, he told me that Kenneth Copeland said that if a message blesses you, you must listen to it at least 20 times before you can get what is inside it. I heard that one today. Even though I practiced for a long time, I told you, Bishop David Oyedepo preached the gospel of abundance. I listened to it more than 100 times before I lost the tape. Pastor, could you preach inheritance inside the new man? I can almost preach the message with him. I've listened to that thing uncountable number of times. Pastor Max told me that today, that Kenneth Copeland said, okay, what happened? He was thanking me for the message, the rod of God. He said that message has flown with him more than any other message. Anytime he wants to enter a flight, he plugs it in and is listening.
He said, Kenneth Copeland said, if any message blesses you, listen to it at least 20 times. Oyedepo said those days, that's how to get drunk. It's when you sit down with wine. You tarry at the table. You don't admire the Bible and say, nice Bible, and you'll get drunk. It doesn't work like that. No matter how many bottles of star you admire, you won't get drunk. It's when you open it and imbibe it. And you imbibe the next one. And Paul said, when you have done that, they will tell you economy entered into recession, you start laughing. Then people know you are drunk. The other day I was in my office. They said that dollar is now 400 naira. I said, it doesn't worry me one bit. The man said, ah, you've bought a lot of forex. I said, yes, I have. He said, hey, oh, guy, I suspect you. I said, don't, no need for suspicion. It is confirmed. Plenty of forex. I said, how much? I said, I don't even know how much. I said, the only thing I just want you to know is not called forex. It's called spirex. It's not foreign exchange. Earthly foreign exchange. It's heavenly foreign exchange. It's called spiritual exchange. That's why I call it spirex. Where is it? It's in the Bible. It's the word of God. In the midst of dryness, I will still bear fruit. So it's the scriptures. That's what that is. When you hear negative news and you are still rejoicing, that is when you are drunk. You are drunk. That's what we call being filled with the Spirit, of course. You start singing the psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And you start making music in your heart to the Lord. And thanksgiving comes from your mouth every time. These are the habits of Christians. Remember, it is don't do this, but do this. What am I going to say? Don't fill your time with watching matches because the days are evil. Don't fill your time with chatting on Facebook with those who only criticize the government. The days are evil. Don't fill your time with chatting on nonsense. The Bible says the days are evil. You use your time to feed on the wine of the word of God. Then you get drunk or filled with the Spirit. And then words start coming out of your mouth. And those words are powerful words. Now, because of time, let's just leave that quickly. This is what happened last time. Colossians chapter 3. I just want to open to it and read the first few lines. Then we'll continue from that point. Colossians chapter 3, from verse 1 down to verse 17, actually summarizes everything we have read in Ephesians chapter 4, from verse 17, into the whole of chapter 5, into that chapter 5, verse 20, where we just stopped. Okay? So we are just going to read this next time so that we'll read our portion of Colossians. And then from there, we'll now go on to talking about what Paul said about relationships and then prayer. So we'll read this Colossians just to summarize what we have read in the book of Ephesians. All right? Let's leave it there. If you are blessed, give me an amen.
Amen.
I said, if you are blessed, give me an amen.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good.
All the time.
I said, the Lord is good.
All the time.
Let's rise to our feet. We are closing now. If you are a student of God's word, give me another amen.
Amen.
If you are being filled with the knowledge of his will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, walking in a manner worthy of the Lord, pleasing him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing the knowledge of God, give me an amen.
Amen.
All right, let's give it up. And just raise your hand and say, Lord, I thank you for freedom. Thank you. Jesus said that, and Paul said that, you are in the light. Light has come to you. You are no longer in darkness. Say, you are in the light. Light has come to you. It has shown you what is evil. Determine once again, like we did last time, say, I separate my life from darkness. I separate my life from darkness. I separate my life from darkness. I walk in the will of God. I walk in the will of God. I do not fulfill the desires of the flesh, but I walk in the will of God. Declare it, I do not fulfill the desires of the flesh, but I walk in the will of God. Say, in the name of Jesus, I have the grace to do it. Not by my strength, but by the Spirit of God in me. I have grace. I have grace. I have grace. Grace makes me able. I have grace. Grace makes me able. I have it. I walk above sin. I am not a slave to sin. There is no sinful thing, no evil thing, no such things, like Paul said, of evil character. None of them, they cannot have a hold on me. These things do not have a hold on me. Jesus has set me free. Jesus has set me free. I am free indeed. I am free indeed. I am free indeed. I am free indeed. Just say after me, say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I have been set free.
I have been set free.
By the power of Christ.
By the power of Christ.
And I'm free indeed.
And I am free indeed.
Say it, light.
Light.
Say it, light.
Light.
The light of God.
The light of God.
Has shone upon me.
Has shone upon me.
The light of God.
The light of God.
Is shining in my heart.
Is shining in my heart.
I have arisen. Out of darkness.
Out of darkness.
I have arisen.
I have arisen.
Out of sin.
Out of sin.
I have arisen.
I have arisen.
Out of condemnation.
Out of condemnation.
Now I am free.
Now I am free.
Say it, now I am free.
Now I am free.
Free to serve God.
Free to serve God.
Free to experience His blessings.
Free to experience.
Free to express Christ.
Free to express Christ.
Free to manifest His goodness.
Free to manifest His goodness.
Free to display His character.
Free to display
His character. Say, I am free.
I am not in bondage,
not to Satan.
I am not in bondage,
not to sin,
not to
this world.
I am not in bondage,
but I am free.
I have passed out of death.
I have passed into life.
I am seated above
in Christ Jesus.
Let's
just give the Lord thanks again. Just say, Lord, we thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Quickly, I just want to pray. Just if you wish for me to pray for you concerning health, just put your hands on your body, any part of it. If no, you don't have anywhere specifically, just put your hand across your body like this. All right? Now, specifically, if your stomach is hurting, you put your hand on it. I want to pray. How do we pray? We just lift up the rod of God. We just lift up the rod of God over our lives. That's what we do. We just lift up God's rod. Now, this is the rod of God which guarantees you healing. Himself took our infirmities and our diseases. And by His stripes we have been healed.
Amen.
He nailed every handwriting written against us to His cross. By His stripes we have been healed.
Amen.
I declare you healed now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And I speak to that ailment. Henceforth, from now, nobody will eat of your fruit again.
Amen.
You know, when Jesus said that to the fig tree, it died from the roots. Therefore, that sickness is dead from the roots.
Amen.
Henceforth, you will not eat the fruit of that illness.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
What is the fruit of illness? You don't sleep well. You miss work. You can't read. You can't go about your business. What's the fruit of sickness? Your money is buying expensive drugs. It's paying for consultation. Once again, I just repeat it for emphasis. You will not eat that fruit again in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Father, we give you thanks.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.